right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. And we're about to talk about variety shows, the history of variety television. It's a new book called Fade Up 26, The Movers and Shakers of Variety Television. And the two authors are Steve Binder and Mary Beth Liedman. And they are joining us to talk about that. The music you just heard was from The Tammy Show, which Steve Binder, the co-author, was the director of. And it was a pretty groundbreaking film, you know, chronicling some really great, incredible performances back in 1964. But that led into some work with Variety Television. And the book itself is the reason why the number 26 is there, because they talk with 26 of the movers and shakers who were still are and were very important to the world of variety television. And variety television has been around since the inception of TV. It's a terrific book, an educational one, an entertaining one, one that works on many levels. And I want to welcome to the show Steve Binder. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. And Mary Beth Liedman. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about how, well, Mary Beth, first of all, let's talk about how you became involved in this book.
It was kind of like, you know, manna falling from heaven. I was at a conference that the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the Emmy people run, and this was about 5 years ago. I'm a college professor at a place called Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and they invite 20 academics out every year, and it's they basically bring in panels of the best people in Hollywood, and Steve was the chair of the director's panel that they brought in. And somehow I got into a conversation with him, and somehow he liked me, and somehow he sent me an email the next night that said, basically, hi, I like you. We enjoyed meeting you, he and his wife, and I'd like to write a book with you. And it was like somebody had opened up, you know, both doors of the world to me. And I said, sure, Steve, anything you want. And so that's basically how I got involved in the book. He opened up every door.
That's amazing. Steve, your background obviously is very impressive, and we will get to that a little bit later on. And I have you're responsible, Steve, for one of the greatest things that's ever been on television, in my opinion. And I bust out the DVD regularly. The 68 Comeback Special is one of my favorite things that's ever aired on television, Steve.
Well, I appreciate it. And just the timing of being able to work with Elvis Presley and how I got involved with him in the first place just turned out to be probably the thing I'll be best recognized for in my entire career. It was a great experience.
It's a great. I want to get to that in a little bit later on. I know that's. I know at first you didn't want to do it, and I do want to talk to you a little bit about that. But let's talk about the idea. Like you obviously, you said to Mary Beth, "Hey, I'd like to write this book with you." Was the genesis of the book through conversations with these people that you know?
Well, basically, first of all, let me just make a comment that Tommy Smothers of the Smothers Brothers did our foreword. And I think he really nailed it when he said, you know, to any of the readers of our book that if you don't recognize the names of the 26 of us who participated, you'll certainly recognize all of the specials, variety shows, like you name it, from the 1950s until the present time, that all these producers and directors, most of them still working to this day, and all the award shows, the Oscars, the Tonys, the Emmys, they have dominated the field since they all got in the business. So it was really a case of when you read the book, you'll be learning a lot about the behind the scenes of how we approach doing all these shows and specials, et cetera. And Mary Beth was absolutely brilliant because when we connected, we first started out saying, let's do the history of variety television winners of Emmys. And then we decided, well, it's much bigger than that. It's much broader. I've had the opportunity myself to be a professor for over 25 years at the University of Southern California. I've taught at universities and colleges and guest lectured all over the world practically. And this was really an exciting project. Mary Beth's resume not only equals, but it probably surpasses mine in the entertainment business in her academic world. Mm. It was a perfect marriage of, you know, she knew all of us, but only from an academic point of view. I knew everybody from a social, you know, these are the people that I hung out with my whole career.
Right.
You have to understand that I'm just a television junkie. And, you know, and it's just as simple as that. So the chance for me to get really a carte blanche to talk to all of these people who I had read about and seen their work over the years. I mean, I've done a good bit of TV and radio production, but certainly never on the level of these people. And to be able to ask them any question I wanted to ask them, and to find out really what made them tick, the creative process, the vision that they had, the kind of technical sides that they had, the shows that they did, the awards that they got, the people they talked to. There was nothing like it. Mm. And with Steve's help, we were able to talk to these folks. And I need to say that one of the miracles of this adventure is that everyone loves Steve, okay? You know, the entire Hollywood loves Steve. And no one said no.
Yeah.
And they were all willing to talk to this non Hollywood person from the middle of nowhere on the East Coast, and it was because of Steve that all the doors opened.
That's great.
Mary Beth leaves out, Nick, is the fact that the ground rules we set from the very beginning is no Skyping, no iPhones, no communication whatsoever. They had to physically, each one of these people had to physically sit down with Mary Beth and do somewhere as long as a 3 or 4 hour interview based on the questions that Mary Beth and her classes at Indiana University of Pennsylvania actually put together for all of us. So it was kind of like, I don't know if you go back that far, but if you remember a Japanese movie called Rashomon.
Of course, yes.
A murder, and then they go to the witnesses, and everybody has a different point of view
That's
of
right.
what happened,
yeah.
et cetera.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in this book, because we had no idea what these 15 questions were going to be that Mary Beth asked of us. And to now, objectively, it was totally enlightening for me personally, because I knew all these people socially for years, but never, ever watched them direct anybody or stage a production number. So it was just amazing, and not only a fast read, but I was fascinated by reading all about. I know more about these people today after, you know, they met with Mary Beth than I ever knew about them for all the years that I know everybody.
That really says a lot, Steve. You've known these people for so many years, and yet you learned something from this book too. And it is indeed a fascinating read. And Mary Beth, much like you, I have been and always will be a TV junkie. And this was I was just like a hog in heaven reading this book. So much great stuff. Now, Mary Beth, what is your background? I know that you've done radio, you've done television. You're obviously an academic. What's your background how did you get started in the field?
Well, I got started in the field through music and theater. I went to Emerson College, and that's where I started in music and theater. My background is really in music and then theater. And then because it was Emerson, I started doing radio and television there, including some spots at WBZ in Boston. And, life takes over. And I worked as a director of a theater company for a while. Then basically I quit theater for lack of talent and went into radio and television, where there were just more opportunities.
That's Mary Beth. That's very funny. You quit theater for lack of talent. And you went into radio. That's pretty much what happened to me.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I wish you continued, because I look great on the radio, Nick. So what happened was that I've just had a lot of luck and a lot of opportunities that people don't get. I seem to bounce off the people that are the movers and shakers in a lot of different fields. And one of the things that Steve didn't mention is that everybody agreed not to talk to each other. And this is a tiny little community, and they all knew that I was out there in L.A. talking to them.
Yeah.
And nobody shared their answers with anybody else, nor did they share the questions with anyone else. So I was actually able to give a good, solid interview with each and every individual person and, you know, do the secondary and the tertiary questions as follow-ups, and they were all unique. And that was what really gave some flavor to the book. I want to make one correction. There was one person that I could only see, talk to over the phone, and that was Lorne Michaels. And he was kind enough to let me interview him over the phone.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful addition to the book, to the interview at the end, the Lorne Michaels interview at the end. And it makes sense that he's included. It really would be. You know, but now let's talk a little bit about the 26 people, Steve, you included. How were those people chosen, Steve?
Well, first of all, I never ever dreamed when I made the phone calls that nobody would turn me down.
Yeah.
I was as shocked as Mary Beth was when everybody said, once they heard the list of others participating, we go back to, I think, the first director in television, in variety at least, was Tony Sharmley, who's in his 90s now. And Tony had done so many early shows, and he was really known, first of all, as a choreographer, but later directed a lot of the Mitzi Gaynor shows. And he kind of set the pattern for variety, and having him involved and then layering it with, like, Glenn Weiss, who co-produces and directs the Tony Awards, you know, Kennedy Center Honors. There's a lot of layering because a lot of us have done the same show. For instance, I've produced and directed the National Emmy Award show, and I think half of the people on our list of contributors also at one time or another directed the National Emmy shows and mm-hmm. so forth, or the Oscars, you know, or the Grammys and what have you.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the best storytellers in the whole book is Ken Ehrlich, who has been with the Grammy Award show for years and years and is phenomenal when it comes to working with major, major talent, you know, from Paul McCartney to Stevie Wonder. I mean, you name it. And it just kept layering from there. Matthew Diamond, who actually did the camera directing on The Wiz, and you know, Glenn Weiss, incidentally, had done the Peter Pan, the NBC live television special.
Yeah.
But there was so many talented Lou Horvitz, who's you know, done multiple Oscar award shows, et cetera. Marty Kallner, who was HBO's number one variety director, you know,
and also
Lithgow from the dance shows,
right?
Who tells his story about starting his career in England and then coming to the United States and becoming an entrepreneur and a great producer.
And you've got so many. I mean, really, the credits, Steve. It's crazy.
Yeah, and having the privilege to go into their material, talk to them all, edit their material, and so forth. It took us 5 years to put this book together.
Wow.
I want to just add one thing about Tony Charmley that really wasn't able to come out in the book, and that was, imagine sitting with this man, and he's explaining how he used the camera to get Mitzi Gaynor's high kick.
Yeah, it's so great. I mean, the camera tricks that he used at that time,
yeah.
It's one of my favorite sections of the book, Mary Beth.
And you know, it was those kinds of things that I think that people will enjoy reading in the book, especially if they use it as a jumping off point to go back and look at YouTube and look at some of the clips from those shows that are there.
Yeah, hang on, we have to take a break here for a commercial. So hold on, Steve, hang on, and Mary Beth, hang on. We'll come back and we'll talk more. We're talking with the authors of a terrific book called Fade Up, 26, The Movers and Shakers of Variety Television. When we come back, we'll talk more about variety television and its history and talk more about the book. And I will be asking Steve many questions about working on the Elvis 68 comeback special. And it's Steve Binder and Mary Beth Liedman, and we have a link on our Facebook page to get the book, and you should get it. It's great. And it's facebook.com/Nick Disham. And we'll be right back. Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Anybody who's around my age or a little bit older absolutely recognizes that theme from the show Laugh-In. And the creator of that show is one of the 26 movers and shakers of Variety Television that are interviewed in this terrific book called Fade Up. Steve Binder and Mary Beth Leedman are the co-authors, and they join me on the show. Welcome back, Steve, and welcome back, Mary Beth.
Thanks. George Slaughter you're talking about. Yeah. And I think Mary Beth is quoted as saying one of the funniest men she ever spoke to in her life.
Anytime I've seen, you know, interviews with him, he's always just the life of the party and has great stories, and he's tremendously entertaining in the book.
To talk to George Slaughter was had us in tears, me and my production assistant. I was out there in L.A., and you just could not be there with him to understand the immediacy of him talking about how he created Laugh-In and all the people that were involved in Laugh-In and how it acted as a template for putting other variety shows of that same ilk together. He just was so funny and so outgoing and so creative that, you know, he was so engaging that it set the entire tone, because he was the first interview of the 26.
Oh, wow.
And you know, and since I didn't know, actually he was the second, but I didn't know what I was getting into when I started talking to these folks. Because, you know, just imagine you're being dropped into the middle of Hollywood, and these are people that you've been reading about all these years and seeing all of their work and trying to appreciate all their work. And then you get to ask them every single question you ever had.
Yeah.
And they were all forthcoming with answers. And Steve, of course, is the pinnacle of people who knew exactly what was going on in variety television and the creative side of it, and
right,
each minuscule part of it.
You can believe it, Nick. At one time, I was the youngest network director in the history of network television.
Is that right?
Now I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum.
That's a nice long career, though, Steve. It says something.
I've been very, very fortunate.
Let's talk.
For somebody who never thought I'd be in the entertainment business, period.
I
grew up in Hollywood, and never dawned on me that I would spend my life, you know, in this business. I was, when I went to college, I was in pre-med at USC, and you know, I've always jokingly, but there's a lot of truth in every joke. And I said, you know, and they pay me too, because I love it so much.
Steve, you were going to be a doctor?
I wanted to please my parents. I don't think I really, because I really couldn't stand even dissecting frogs in college, you know, as a freshman. So
that's great. Well, can we just briefly, for the audience, give briefly? I know it's a big question, but like the history of variety television and variety shows in general. How did that really start? How far back does it go? I think a lot of people. I mean, it goes back to the beginning of television, correct, Mary Beth?
No, it goes back to the Greeks.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to theater. It goes back to vaudeville. It goes back to minstrel shows. I mean, it goes back to any time anybody wanted to be engaged and entertained by different types of entertainment in one particular time period. And I think that it really does go back that far. And that from the 20th century, it then makes the jump, you know, from minstrels into vaudeville, and vaudeville into radio, and radio into television.
Right.
And television it expanded and exploded it. And now we see so many different types of it, you know, from the definitions of some of the directors and producers that talked about it being late night TV to versus the award shows to versus all of the just standard variety shows that are on right now.
Yeah.
So that's the encapsulated version of it.
Right. And
important, Nick, is even defining what is variety television. Is it reality television? Is it, you know, I mean, primetime is now dominated with all the singing shows, which to me probably goes back to the beginning of radio when they had Major Bowles Amateur Hour, you know, and they presented the Sinatras, you know, major stars who began their career just trying to get recognition as an amateur on some kind of, you know, show that would reach out to, you know, to the general public. And it just expanded itself. When television started, and I was lucky enough to get in on the early stages of it, it was really all based on talent coming from radio and coming from vaudeville. And, you know, your Milton Berle's and your even your Steve Allen's and so forth really came out of another media, where today people actually are born thinking, you know, maybe I'll have a career in television. So they're beginning in the media, where before you had to be successful in another media to really cross over.
Yeah, and it's interesting to watch the old shows, you know, because I happen to be a geek about old game shows and old panel shows. I love watching those. And those were people who were stars of the New York stage and stars of radio. And there was no such thing really as a television star at that point, but they became television stars because of it. You go back and look at some of the people that were on, like Gene Rayburn, you know, did stage, and then suddenly because of these panel shows, Bennett Cerf and all these other people with fascinating characters.
And it really began on the East Coast, basically in New York, and then it sort of spread itself to Hollywood, where, you know, the executive offices were now in New York and the creative stages and the talent was in Hollywood and so forth. But that's kind of changed now. I mean, the world is the stage, and especially with the Internet.
It was interesting because, you know, when I've directed a couple of TV shows, you know, for really regional PBS, I've always used the template of what engages an audience. And it just all comes from variety. You know, what's the essence? What makes people want to watch television? What entertains them? And there's nothing that's simply more entertaining than great variety television. And that's what you find in the book, is you find these folks that really created the great variety television shows of our age. And that's where the engagement comes from, and that's where the entertainment comes from.
Now, Mary Beth, what are some of your favorite stories that are in the book? You mentioned how much fun it was talking with George Schlatter and some of these other amazing people. Are there certain things in the book that stand out for you?
You know, I mean, talking to Louis J. Hurwitz about everything that he did with the Oscars, and talking to Don Mischer about you know, how he did the shows in Washington with the Kennedys, and how a lot of these movers and shakers related to other people like Gil Cates. Dennis Doty worked with Gil Cates, who unfortunately did not get a chance to talk to, and certainly Gary Smith and Dwight Hamion. All of the many, many stories about Dwight Hamion and how he really set the standard for using camera work and using different angles to capture the essence of some of the great shows like the Barbra Streisand specials. I mean, those are moments that jump out of me. But, you know, one of the really great stories is Steve talking about a show that he did with Harry Belafonte. And help me, Steve, here. And Petula Clark. Petula Clark and Harry Belafonte, mm-hmm. and how they broke through the barriers, you know, to make it, you know, a better world, using television as a vehicle to open up the world.
The first time in primetime network television that a black person and a white person physically touched each other. Literally, Petula reached over and touched Harry on the forearm, and it ended up a shot being heard around the world that broke the color line in primetime television. Because the sponsor wanted the touch removed from the show. And, you know, truthfully, I refused to.
Yeah.
And erased all the other takes where they didn't touch. So NBC was stuck with having to air the one with them touching. But it was in Newsweek magazine and Time magazine. And it was a story told all over the world.
That is good move, Steve. Nice move.
Special.
It was the power of television. It was, you know, the power that television brings people together and continues to bring people together. That's what is continues to be exciting about variety television. They are once-in-a-lifetime moments that bring huge groups of people. For instance, the opening of the Olympic Games. You know, it's going to bring how many millions of people together?
Yeah.
And one of our people in the book was one of the directors of that show for the 1980 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of event that you can't escape from it, and, you know, escape from. And Steve, of course, was, you know, throughout the entire history of variety television, he's been, you know, at the pinnacle of being a mover and a shaker.
I want to say, we're talking about the 26 that are in here. The first chapter in the book, Laying the Keystone, is really astounding. Just reading the bios of these people and their accomplishments and their credits, it is really unbelievable. And if people want to, you know, when you read the first chapter of the book, right after I read the first chapter of the book, I was like, wow, boy, this is going to be amazing, because we're dealing with people who have created absolute classics. And it's really amazing. The first chapter of the book, when you realize who you're dealing with.
I would be remiss in not saying, you know, one of my peers that I respected greatly, in fact, he did the Elvis in Hawaii special, Marty Pesetta, was a real pioneer, both technically and creatively in television, directed a slew of Oscar shows, et cetera. 1 month, almost to the day after Mary Beth had sat with Marty for about 3 hours or so, he drove up from Palm Springs just to do this interview for us. And a month almost to the date, Marty was killed in a horrific car accident, accidental car accident. And it lent a whole, tone to the book. We dedicated the book to Marty.
Right.
He says such fantastic things about his career in the book. And it was one of the saddest things to happen. But, Marty would be the first to tell you, as I think all 26 of us would, that it wasn't just, we the producers and directors and creators of these shows, but we lived for our entire careers exchanging the technical crews on our shows. So there's a group of technical people, cameramen, audio men and women, et cetera. In fact, I should mention there are two key women included in the 26. That one is Ellen Brown, who directed Jay Leno's Tonight Show for years, mm-hmm. who assisted a lot of us when she began her career as an assistant director. But the book has so much information, and I'm a great believer. And I think what really inspired me to work with Mary Beth was I have always taught. I mean, I've saved probably hundreds of thousands of dollars avoiding therapy in my life because I taught at, university for about 30 years where I could lock myself into a room with just a handful of young college students and focus on their lives and their careers and give back.
Yeah.
And I think this book is really giving back. It started out as a academic project, as a textbook. There are two books, actually. There's a much more expensive textbook for colleges and universities.
Mm-hmm.
And then the publisher, Kendall Hunt, who is known for their academia, decided this book needs to get out to the general public.
Well,
they decided then to do Fade Up, which is the book that you've read.
Right. Hold on 1 second. Steve and Mary Beth, they do understand commercial breaks. We have to take one. When we come back, we'll talk more about the book, and I have some questions for Steve about the Elvis 68 comeback special. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, and we shall return.
If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why.
Oh, yeah. If you are a regular listener to this show, or you listen to Steve and Johnny, the three of us share this opinion that song that you just heard is the best Elvis song of all time, and I think his best vocal performance of all time. And it, of course, was performed on the 68 comeback special. Steve Binder was responsible for that. And along with Mary Beth Liedman, they have put together a book called Fade Up, 26, The Movers and Shakers of Variety Television, a must-have for your library. Steve, Mary Beth, welcome back.
Thank you.
That's my favorite Elvis song, Steve. My favorite vocal performance. Gives me the chills every time I see him perform it or hear it. What was it like to work with Elvis?
Well, it was the first time, in all honesty, that Elvis left his security and joined us. Since I started directing, going back to Steve Allen and the first rock and roll show on NBC called Hullabaloo and doing the Tammy Show film with the Stones and James Brown and so forth, I accumulated a team of very, very talented creative technicians and costume designers and set designers, et cetera. And we started experimenting with one-star specials. We began with Leslie Uggams, who you'll remember from the Mitch Miller shows. Mm-hmm. She was on Broadway doing a musical play called Hallelujah Baby. And we did her first NBC television special. as a team. And then the next one was Petula Clark and Harry Belafonte. And then the third one was the Elvis Presley special. So Elvis joined us. There was nobody from his world that participated in the making of the 68 special. They were all people that I had accumulated and worked with over the years. And at that time, in Variety, which is a little different today, is that once you got an assignment, nobody interfered or bothered with you until you delivered the master tape, and then they looked at it up in the executive offices and said, either you did a great job or you'll never work again in this town because we hated what you did.
Yeah.
So it was all based on, you know, all the responsibility on your shoulders as the creator, producer, director, what have you. And my experience with Elvis going in, I never thought I would do it in the first place when I got the call from NBC. It was Petula and Harry Belafonte's touch that got me the Elvis Presley special, because Colonel Parker had made a deal with Tom Sarnoff, who was running NBC at the time, that NBC would finance Elvis's next motion picture, but only on the condition that he do a television special. When the Colonel told Elvis about this, he said, you know, I'd love to do another movie, but I'm not doing television, because television in the early days, especially in the 60s, was dominated in prime time by comedians. So aside from Elvis doing that historical Ed Sullivan show appearance with his, you know, trio,
right,
every appearance he made in television after that, they kind of made fun of him on the Milton Berle show, on the Steve Allen show. It said they had him dressed in tuxedos. They put a hound dog in one of the musical numbers with him and so forth. So he said to me, basically, you know, television is not my turf. And I said, what is your turf? And he said, it's making records. And I said, okay, then you make a record and I'll put pictures to it. And he told me later on that was one of the things in our first meeting that really relaxed him. And he said, you know, I just got a gut feeling I'm going to go with this guy. So I was wondering all the time I did the special why Colonel Parker didn't fire me, because he wanted 20 Christmas songs and a Christmas special, and I had no intentions of doing that type of show.
Yeah.
So we created from scratch with my group, Alan Bly and Chris Beard were the writers. You know, Gene McAvoy was the art director. Billy Goldenberg was the musical director. Earl Brown, who wrote If I Can Dream, was our choral director, and I'd worked with all of these guys going back to 1965, almost 3 years before we did this special.
Yeah.
And it was really a case, I got nervous when Elvis was so cooperative, and I said, is there anything you don't like? And he said, no, I love it all. And Priscilla told me later on, many years later, that when Elvis came home from the first meeting with me, and the first question he asked me, which I think most people have, you know, heard about or read about, he said, what do you think of my career? At the time, I was in partners with Bones Howe, one of the great record producers in California, and we were exclusively producing all the hits for the Fifth Dimension, the Association. We're working with Laura Nero. And I said, Elvis, you know, I think your career's in the toilet.
Yeah.
And he laughed.
Yeah.
And it kind of bonded us. And he said, you're the first person speaking the truth to me in many a year, you know. And I think he liked the idea that I was both in the music business and the television business. And it was really a case of where we never had one argument over anything. The Colonel was all the way through. I had a great executive producer who originally was going to produce the show himself, but he could never get Elvis to call him Bob. He always called him Mr. Finkel. And he said, I got to get somebody young and hip that can relate to this guy. And so when Elvis and I met, it was, hi, Steve, hi, Elvis. And
yeah,
we hit it off immediately. And the whole show was like an incredible experience. And as I said, I was not even an Elvis fan when I started this.
I was
more a West Coast guy with the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean.
It's interesting because, as you pointed out, Steve, you know, he had Elvis went away to the Army, comes back, starts making a bunch of silly movies. Meanwhile, the Beatles and the Stones and everybody else starts taking over music, and Elvis wasn't hip anymore until your special. I'm telling you, man. It's the coolest he's ever been, in my opinion. When he's sitting around with the guys just playing the guitar and talking, it's one of my favorite segments in television history. And it changed his career, I think. I think it was just amazing. So we've run out of time. I could talk to both of you for another hour and a half easily. And Mary Beth, great job with the interviews. Really wonderful questions. Very thorough. And you guys together have put together an amazing book. If you're a television fan, this is a must-have. It is a treasure trove full of amazing stories and talented people. And you guys, it's been a real, real honor having you on my show.
Nick,
hey, Nick, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you guys. Okay, have a great morning, okay?
Thank you. You
take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, Steve Binder and Mary Beth Leedman. Boy, but just two legends here. And this was just exciting for me. The book is called Fade Up, 26, The Movers and Shakers of Variety Television. It's published by Kendall Hunt. We have a link on our Facebook page to get the book. If you are a television fan, particularly of variety television and history of television, you need to get this book. There's a link on our Facebook page. Get it now. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back after the news, we are going to talk about variety shows. What are some of the best, some of the weirdest, some of the worst, some of your favorites? They were very, very popular in the 70s as well. So variety television, best, worst, and all that stuff. That's what we're going to talk about after we break after the news on 720 WGN.